You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Sodomize. Now, there's a fascinating thing going on in the world today, especially in our country. There are hate crime laws, hate crime legislation, that before long, if the homosexual agenda has its way, it would be illegal for me to stand up here in this pulpit and say anything against that particular category, because they've got a lobby going and made it so that you can't say things. And let me just tell you something straight up, and this may be easier to say than to do, but they're going to have to lock me up. Because the day that somebody tells me you cannot speak out of this book about anything, now I'm not talking about bashing gays, I'm not talking about taking people out at the knees and picking some particular sin, and I've said this before, people say, but homosexuality is an abomination. I say, well, let's go to Proverbs where it says a lying tongue and a proud look, and goes on down a list and says those things are an abomination to the Lord too. So you want to go chasing abominations? We'll start right here. So don't be picking some abomination and throw those people and say to hell with them and anybody else, no matter what their problem, we'll take them. But also don't come telling some preacher in this country you can't get up and speak the truth in love. Jesus died for anybody, and whether, now on the flip side of this, there are Christians say, well, you know what? If those people are going to be in heaven, I'd rather go to hell. Well, you may just get your wish. Because heaven will be filled with all kind of sinners whose hearts and lives were changed from the inside out. They may have struggled till the day they die, but they make it the same way you claim to make it, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, what the heck? I went to church and the title sodomized, and how did I get here? Why am I listening to this? Because it's where we live. It's the world we live in. Now I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 19. Now, we're going to read 19. In 18, the Lord himself and two angels have come down to Abraham, becomes Abraham at this point, have come to Abraham to say, for the sake of Sarah specifically, you're going to have a baby. And she laughs, and they have to name the kid Isaac, and that means laughter. She's like, what are you kidding? I'm 90-something years old. I can't get pregnant. I'm a barren womb. She laughs. Long story short, Isaac is really born. But as he's coming down, the Lord comes down with these two angels. He stops to see Abraham and tell him what he's about to do. And what he says to Abraham is, I am going. There's been a cry come from Sodom and Gomorrah about this area. I'm done. I'm going to see it for myself, and we're wiping it out. And so the angels, and you see in Genesis 19, these two angels go on, and it gets wiped out. But I want us to look at this story and what really happens here. Genesis 19, let's start in verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. In other words, glad you're here. Not sure why you're here, but you can spend the night here. We'll take care of you, and then you can move on wherever you're going. And Lot doesn't understand. They're not going anywhere. They're home. They're where they were going. This is what they're there to do. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast, baked unleavened bread, and they ate. He throws them a party, takes care of them, very hospitable. Still, no idea what's going on. Now verse 4, now before they lay down, the men of the city, it's late at night, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. So the men come from all over town and surround this house. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them carnally. Meaning what? Sodomize. All these guys, young and old, whatever's up that day, they decide we got fresh meat in town. We're going to Lot's house and get those guys for ourselves. Now, I don't know how bad it looked or how bad it felt, but you get a town where literally the men of the town, when someone new shows up and their sport for the evening is to go rape the men who are visiting family or friends or whatever, you got trouble. So before you get all bent out of shape and say, well, God's all about hellfire and brimstone and angry at everybody and just trying to wipe people out, there is a point where you better pray to God. It's not just Sodom and Gomorrah, but where God says, you know what? Enough is enough anywhere. I'm not putting up with this anymore. And I've heard the cries of too many people. Something's going to happen to stop this mess. Now, how does all this tie in with being a Christian? And how do you speak the truth in love? You better not be backing off of calling sin what it is, because if no one bothers to warn people and say, you know what, you may feel like, the scripture even says, everyone does what is right in their own eyes. You may feel like what you're doing is okay, but there's a holy God who sees this, and this is how he sees sin, and you need to at least think about it. If they're so cold and so calloused and they can't be challenged or confronted in any way about their sin, they may be too far gone, and only God knows that. But love someone enough to at least gently speak the truth in love and say, look, this sin thing is what got Jesus killed. And if you are willing to change your life and to change your heart and to repent and turn from your wicked ways, as the scripture describes it, then God can take your whole life no matter how bad you've screwed it up. All right, so they come out and say, we want to know them carnally. Verse 6, so Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, he is out there pleading with these men, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. I've got two virgin daughters in the house. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish, only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. I'm telling you, the whole reason they're in my house and in this town is because of guys like you. They are here to destroy it because of this exact behavior. Don't do this. You're just compounding the problem. Obviously, these messengers, these angels have communicated why they're there. Now, if this troubles a lot of women, me too. Why would a father say, look, don't rape these two angels. Don't go after them. Take my two virgin daughters. I think dad knows they're not interested in the women. Any man who's interested in raping another man this violently, a mob scene, they didn't come for women. They came for the two men. Now, look how this unfolds. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. Now what are they saying? You came to our town, you moved in here, all your stuff. We came for the two guys visiting you. You know what? Now it's going to be you, big boy. Lot, we want you. Now Lot is at risk of being raped by these men. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door, but the men reached out their hands, pulled Lot into the house with them, and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. So the angels blind these men and protect Lot from what was about to happen to him. Now look at verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Do you have anybody else in this town? Read one more verse, 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up. Now this is the middle of the night. Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Like, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? Nothing's going to happen. How many times do you speak the truth to a friend and try to warn them? And you know what the world says to you as a Christian? They laugh at you. You're some kind of nut. You believe all that stuff in the Bible? None of that's going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened a long time ago. He's not coming back. It's just fairy tales. It's fables. There's nothing to it, Richard. Why do you get so disturbed and all stirred up about this? There's nothing to it. Now, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 18. Go back a chapter, and let's look at verse 32. Before the Lord leaves Abraham and these two angels leave, Abraham realizes what is about to happen. And he's trying now, he's kind of intervening on behalf of this area, and he knows that Lot is there, and they didn't say they were going to preserve anybody, so he starts negotiating. And I think he starts at 50, and he says to the Lord, he said, I don't want to be presumptuous, but he said, if you can find 50 righteous people in Sodom, will you spare the city? And he says, absolutely, 50, I'll spare it. He says, well, if you can find 45, and he goes to 30, and he keeps coming down. And finally, he gets to an interesting number where he stops. And look at this in verse 32. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now, why 10? Here's why I believe 10. Let me add them up for you. Lot, his wife, his two virgin daughters and their fiancés, and he's got two other son-in-laws that are mentioned and their wives. You know what the total of that little crew is? 10. So I think Abraham in his brain is saying, you know what? I got Lot, his wife, his four daughters, two fiancés, two husbands. They got to be doing the right thing. There's enough of them there that I know for a fact that if they are doing the right thing, then God will spare everybody. How much is riding on these two boys getting the message and responding? And now Lot's daughters being affected. Now, this is not where this sermon is going, but let me tell you something. As a man, if you don't lead, you have no stinking idea the ramifications that has on families and even a city. A city was destroyed because two boys laughed at their father-in-law. And those two boys' wives, who happened to be the daughters of Lot and his wife, they died. Ah, you're crazy, old man. God isn't going to do anything. There is consequence when you do not follow God and obey him, not just for yourself, but for your entire family. And in this case, a whole city goes down because Abraham made a deal thinking there'd be 10. And a few of them broke up, fell apart, wouldn't listen. And the whole thing goes down. Now let's go back to chapter 19. Look at verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry. The sun is coming up. You've got to get out of here. They said, arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed. All he had was himself, his wife, and these two girls, two virgin daughters. Their fiancés wouldn't even listen, obviously. They got left. These angels are pushing. You got to get out of town. Hurry, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand. He wasn't moving, so these angels grab his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. He said, you don't understand. Get out of here. Now, you say, well, what is all this urgency? What are you talking about? This applies to nowhere today. It doesn't apply to my life. You know why it doesn't apply to us anymore? We've gotten cool and calloused. We don't even hear the warnings anymore. And the Holy Spirit prompts us and says, you're in a situation. You say, well, what situation? I'll give you a situation. You're at work. You're a guy. You're a married guy. Some hot chick at the office comes along at the right time, the right place, and says, hey, you want to go grab something to eat? I don't have anybody to eat lunch with. You want to go have lunch? Your heart starts beating because she's hot. She's attractive. Wow, man, this is a great girl. I can be seen with her. And it's a little exciting. Get a little buzz. You know what the Holy Spirit says? Get out of there. Tell her no. Well, what could be wrong with having lunch? My wife knows I love her. You know what? When I was a kid, they'd light a candle and I'd do what? I'd run my finger through the fire. Run my finger through the fire. I'm not going to get burned. Then boom, you bump the top of the candle, you got hot wax on you, and oh, that wasn't a good idea. You're playing with fire back and forth. We hear him, but we go, you know what? I got everything under control. I'm okay. I'll make it. I've been here before. I'm strong. I can do this. Instead of heeding the voice of the Holy Spirit, when he says, flee, the word means get out of there. And these angels are not just warning now, they are grabbing them and saying, you don't understand, this place is going to get torched, get out of here. Look how he goes on. The Lord, verse 16, part of that, the Lord being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, now pay attention to this, Because when you read stuff in the scripture, you hear the Holy Spirit say something to you. It doesn't take a lot of words. In my house, what I pray is, no means no. And if in your house, no doesn't mean no, you need to do some chiseling and make sure no means no, yes means yes, and maybe is a very effective word. Can we go over somewhere? Maybe. Maybe can be used a lot. But you know what? When the word is no, it's no. These angels say a few words explaining, here's the deal. We've told you to get out. You're the only ones that got out, the four of you. Now here's the deal. Verse 17. They brought them outside that they said, escape for your life. Go. Do not look behind you. Now these are simple instructions. Escape. And whatever you do, do not look behind you. Just don't look back, nor stay anywhere in the plain except to escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. These angels know what's about to happen. Verse 18, then Lot said to them, please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight. You have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. This angel holds the power to rain hell, fire, and brimstone out of the sky and says, okay, I'll wait till you get to that city. Therefore, the name of that city was called Zoar. And I think Zoar was on the verge of being wiped out too, but because Lot chose that city, God had mercy. Now, let me tell you something. God's got nothing but mercy until the hammer drops. And I promise you, you do not want to push a holy God to this place. Verse 23, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone, and the word brimstone means sulfur. And if you've ever smelled burning sulfur, it is one of the nastiest things. There's not just the visual of this thing, the consuming of these cities. It is the smell of sulfur is so intense. So there's an odor about this destruction. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. It somehow comes out of the sky. You say, you know what? You are nuts. How in the world are you going to rain sulfur and fire out of the sky? You know what? I believe every word of this. And if you don't believe this, you're not going to believe anything in the book of Revelation, because all kind of wild stuff's going to happen. I'll tell you what, you may not believe it now. You will. And if you're on the planet when it happens, it'll be a little late to be going, well, oops, I guess all that was true. Look what God can do. And then boom, you're gone. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. I told you earlier that Sodom means burning. It went from burning with lust to burning with fire, obviously. This is a very expensive day for a city, but for Lot as a family. And what is the cause of all this mess? See, if there's no consequence to sin, what is this about? And if God just says, well, you know what? Grace will cover everything. You know what? Grace will cover everything, but God is still God, and sin is still sin, and nobody wants to say this anymore. You're going to run everybody off, Richard. Nobody wants to hear about sin. Nobody wants to hear about judgment. Nobody wants to hear about any of this stuff. Leave us alone. We're going to do the best we can and enjoy our sin, by golly. You can't be taking my sin away. You can't be taking my websites away. You can't be taking my internet porn away. You can't be having all these things. God's just going to have to be happy with what he's got. You know what? God is never going to be happy with sin. Now, there is something about anybody. It's kind of onlooker traffic syndrome. We're driving down the road. The traffic is backed up on both sides. There's a terrible accident that's obvious. And there's hardly anybody who can stand it. We're driving along, and there's no reason for the pileup. There's nothing obstructing us in front, except that people are slowing down. They're driving to do one thing, to get up to a spot. They're trying to drive and be safe and catch a glimpse of the disaster. They're dreading what they might see, but they can't stand missing it. And there is something in all of us that we get moving ahead and God says, you know what? Get away from that life. Get away from those temptations. Get away from those people. Get away from anything that's going to get you in trouble. And don't look back. Learn something from it, yes, but don't look back. You say, well, I'm going to die and go to heaven anyway. But continual disobedience continually costs you your life day after day after day. Now, again, I think if you go back over the few weeks and say, you know what? He is on some kind of roll. What is going on? Follow me around for a week. Sit down with me in the conversations that I have, and I'll show you a bunch of screwed up, messed up people whose lives are being destroyed because they won't obey. They won't listen. And I take every shot I can in a loving way to say, look, I'm done. There's nothing at stake here but your life. They come sit down with me, or if you're the one trying to help somebody, they sit down, they look at you, and you say all these things. They go, well, I'll pray about it. There's nothing to pray about, brother. You need to do something. If you want to pray, ask God why you're not doing what he's telling you to do. There is urgency, but you know what? You're going to leave my office. You're going to leave our lunch. You're going to go back and live however the heck you want to live. There's nothing on me. I'm going to go to my house. I'm going to do my thing. So what would I care? If we don't care about each other enough to say these things, you know what? This isn't church. This isn't a family. If in your family, your brother or your sister, your mom, your dad, we have interventions when things get bad. To do what? To stop somebody and say, I will not sit by and let you destroy your life without saying something or at least trying something. And the person's a little upset at first. Maybe they're grateful, but down the road, hopefully something changes and they go, wow, thank you for having the guts, loving me enough, the courage to say something. Now, I don't know what it is you think you got back there, wherever back there is. There's nothing back there. Or you would never have said yes to Jesus. If at some point in your life you said, okay, God, I've screwed my life up. I'm a sinner. I get it. I see it. If I die, it'll be hell forever. I understand that. I don't want that. I don't want to live without you. I don't want to die without you. So I understand the deal. Jesus lived. He died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried and raised from the dead to pay for my sin, to give me this gift of eternal life. I accept. Come live in me, through me, change me. Because everything I was about, everything I had, I repent of all that. I'm changing my mind. That doesn't work. You work. I'm with you. I will follow you. You can't follow Jesus and go that way at the same time.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now, let me say this as gently as I can one more time. I understand these are culling sermons. And the people that came and heard, we had a nice multicultural gathering and we love each other and the music's great and it's a wonderful gathering. And they come and say, well, I just want to come hang out with you guys. You know what? We ain't hanging. We're moving. And I'd rather end up with Gideon's 300 who know what they're doing and are willing to take a stand for something and live something than to have thousands of people and it just be watered down, ear-scratching mess. So if you come back, I pray you come back because you want to go somewhere, because what was back there isn't working anymore, and you say, show me how to move forward. Show me how to escape everything that had destroyed my life and is coming after me still in my family. Get away from it. Stop trying to hold on to your life. Lose it, because in the scriptures, when you lose it, that's when you find it. You got a past? I got one too. Yours may be a little juicier, but you know what? It took the same blood to wipe them all out. And either I'm going to spend the rest of my life looking back, worrying about the past, all that crap back there, and live under that deal, or say, you know what? I'm moving on. I'm pressing on. I'm out of here. And if you want to go with me, let's move on. But don't be bringing my past up, because that's nothing but death and destruction back there. This is life, and this is where I'm going. Now, Lot's wife had what? Sodomized. That had to look back and it cost her life. What kind of eyes you got?
eyes that'll press forward, a life that'll be lived, not judging anybody, not condemning anybody, but not cowardly either, and not afraid to speak the truth in love and warn somebody and help somebody who's hurting and has the same kind of trouble with their past you do, and they need some hope and some help and some healing. We got that. And it comes through a man, and his sweet name is Jesus.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.